Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Did you know that it's 50 years this week since Richard Nixon became the first US president in history to resign from office? To mark this monumental moment, Witness History brings you five programmes about influential events in US presidential history. And with all the amazing twists and turns in the current race for the White House, what a time to bring you them. You'll hear about the closest US election in history and from the man who was in the Situation Room during the raid on Osama bin Laden. That's Witness History from the BBC World Service. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Hi, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Hi, everyone. Thanks for.
It's early evening in a small office in Phoenix, Arizona, and Rachel, a former teacher, is running an online phone bank on behalf of a campaign group, Save Our Schools Arizona. She's getting volunteers to call voters ahead of local elections. Their mission is to drum up support for candidates who back public school education. For Arizona is at the forefront of a political battle over the future of education in America.
All right, so we are actually going to be making calls into two different areas today.
In 2022, Arizona's then Republican governor introduced a controversial new policy, universal school vouchers called Empowerment Scholarship Accounts, or ESAs. Now, if any parent chooses private over public education, they can apply for a voucher, roughly equivalent to the amount of money the state would have given to a public school to educate their child. The parent can then spend that voucher on private school or on homeschooling their kid. In essence, taxpayers are now subsidizing private education.
So we've really been the kind of laboratory for school vouchers here in the country. We know that at the same time that us standing up and fighting back, it's also showing the rest of the country that we don't have to give up on our public schools.
On average, vouchers are worth around $7,000 to $8,000 a year, but can be much more if the child has special needs. Currently, some 75,000 children are using ESAs, just under 10% of Arizona's school population. And it's predicted the number will rise.
Please leave your message.
Hi, my name is Rachel. I am a parent and a volunteer with Save Our Schools Arizona. We're calling voters this evening to talk about two candidates who are pro-public education.
For some, universal vouchers are the ultimate expression of the so-called school choice movement. For others, they threaten the very existence of America's secular public school system. So what's been the impact of vouchers, and why are people opting out of public schools? I'm Alex Last, and for assignment, I'm in Arizona to look at the impact of school vouchers and find out why people are opting out of public schools.
Here we go. Stop! Stop! Oh, Landon, you cheated! Finish all the way down.
It's early morning at Phoenix Christian Preparatory School, and on the sports field, kids are running drills around cones set up on the running track. They're getting exercise in early before the desert heat makes it unbearable to train outdoors.
Ready! Touch!
When I first began, we were all Caucasian, white, generally middle to upper class. The diversification could not have happened without school choice legislation.
Jeff Blake is the school superintendent. His private school is seen as a model by school choice advocates. And it was here that the former governor signed the legislation introducing universal ESAs.
We're a school of no majority, and so we're about a third African-American, a third Caucasian, a third Latino. They're coming on city buses, and they're coming in fancy automobiles.
Most of the 520 students rely on one of two so-called school choice programs to help pay the fees, which here range from $10,000 to $15,000. The majority use an older, less controversial scheme of scholarships funded by state tax credits, as it's more generous to those on lower incomes. But now roughly a third of the students here are using school vouchers, or ESAs.
It gives parents funding, and then parents have the freedom to choose where they would like their students to attend. It still doesn't cover all of the tuition, but it provides expanded opportunity.
The school does well academically, but Jeff says faith is one of the main reasons people choose to come here. It accepts children of any religion, but a Christian biblical worldview is central to the curriculum.
Public schools are becoming increasingly secularized. In many parents' point of view, it's becoming opposed to their faith tradition. A term that we would use often around here is a Christian worldview. To look at the world through the eyes of the scriptures, through the Bible, and then to interpret what is going on from that viewpoint.
You said Christian worldview. What does that actually entail in terms of what you teach and how you teach it?
When we're teaching math, one of the ways that we will look at it is God is a God of order. He's a God of structure. He's a God of systems. And math helps us understand somewhat about the mind of God. In a history class, we're looking at history through the eyes of faith. Why would God allow something like the Holocaust to occur?
What's the position on, say, talking about creationism or evolution?
We believe it would be brainwashing only to give one side of the story and to say, here's an evolutionary perspective of Earth. Here's a creation perspective of Earth. Now, obviously, we're going to have a bent toward a creation perspective. But to allow the students to have an open dialogue in the classroom, we believe to be healthy. I think I want to emphasize that again, that this is a safe place to wrestle with their faith, a safe place to wrestle with no faith.
The public school system in America is secular, regulated, teachers have to be qualified, kids have to go through standardized tests, but almost no rules apply to private education. Most private schools in Arizona are religious. Some offer a fairly standard curriculum. Some are ultra-conservative. In partisan America, for some parents, that's the attraction of a private education. We've come south, out of Phoenix, into the flat desert scrubland dotted with cactuses or cacti. And on the horizon, you can see the dark silhouettes of barren, craggy mountains. We've come here to see a mum called Misha, who doesn't want to send her kids to public schools. Misha is a mother of five. Her youngest is just 2 months old and lies in her arms. She homeschools her kids, and she says ESAs are a big help. She uses the funds to buy books and pay for extracurricular activities.
Do you like being homeschooled?
Yeah.
Homeschooling is better than being 8 hours on it. Nothing but school.
The idea of an 8-hour day for him is mind-boggling.
So why did she choose to homeschool her kids?
It was something that was very difficult for me because the idea of not having my children for 8 hours a day sounds blissful, but it was something I did from a pretty early age because the issues they were having with their learning when they were young, and now they're excelling. And for me, it was really important. I wanted to be able to know what was going on with my kids.
So she never sent her kids to school. Another big reason was that she had heard other parents voice concerns about what was being taught in public schools.
For us, we're pretty traditional Christian. You know, you don't get to pick and choose what they teach in schools as far as cultures and things like that because, you know, everyone has a right to have their things represented. But I want my children learning my belief system. I get a lot of weird looks because I say it's a parent's job to indoctrinate their children into their belief system. You're trying to teach your child to be what you think is the best, whatever you think is the best. And kids, especially when they're young, they're just so moldable. And there's things that I don't necessarily want them to be learning at a young age.
What kind of things are in public school that you don't particularly like?
Schools are trying to teach more morality than education. They're trying to teach a child to be a certain way versus trying to educate them in mathematics or science or whatever else they need to learn. Because morality, in my mind, is one of those things that's taught at home. Also, I feel like they're very non-inclusive for Christianity in particular.
So you actually feel that public schools actively reject your kind of belief system?
A lot of it, yeah. And even when they're older, you know, we believe in creation, but they treat evolution as though it's fact, even though it's called the evolutionary theory.
How do you choose what books to use? What do you want to teach the kids?
For example, my son is really into dinosaurs. He absolutely is crazy over dinosaurs. We can be walking down the street and everything, oh my gosh, it looks like a triceratops walked here. But it's really hard finding books that aren't just, you know, 50 billion years ago. So we've had to look for books that have things like creationism, that say, you know, God created the dinosaurs and things like that. I would still teach evolution, because if you try and take a child and you bubble them into this world, that this is the worldview and this is reality, one of two things is going to happen. They're either going to have a really tough time when they find out that there's other viewpoints out there because they just don't know how to handle it, or they're going to completely break away from what they were told as a child because they're going to feel like they were lied to.
Misha says she's worried too about how schools discuss racism in America, and in particular the age at which issues of gender and sexuality are talked about in school.
I don't think that a lot of that stuff and a lot of that education belongs in, you know, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, and they're normalizing it, I mean, in kindergarten. People have a right to live their life the way they want it. That's absolutely okay. But I don't like that being brought into my kids so young.
Do you feel that you're part of a sort of school revolution?
I don't think I'd call it a revolution. I think it's going back to roots. I think it that a lot of parents, though, are waking up and getting more involved and wanting different for their kids. So,
certainly in America, homeschooling is on the rise. A recent study suggested it was the fastest growing form of education in the US, albeit starting from a low base. And it's not because everyone is against what's taught in public schools. Out in the late morning heat, a group of kids are saying hello to some goats in the vast backyard of a beautiful modern house southeast of Phoenix.
Did the goats have names?
Yeah, this is Zeus. This is Valentino.
Zeus and Valentino.
They're part of a homeschooling cooperative called Herd of Homeschoolers. Such co-ops have become really popular, allowing parents and their kids to get together to do joint lessons and activities. To explain all this while escaping the heat, we all retreat inside the air-conditioned house.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Wow.
Amanda Duncan set up the co-op. She has three kids. Her eldest daughter is in public school, but she began homeschooling her youngest two when she realized her son was struggling with dyslexia and he wasn't getting the help he needed.
So my son, I took him out. I was scared to death to homeschool. I thought I was gonna, you know, it was never in like my plan to homeschool my kids.
Each mum still teaches their kids the core subjects at home. But twice a week they come together for group lessons and activities, in part to try to get some of the social benefits the kids miss out on by not being in school.
Well, the kind of the sweet thing about homeschool is that you can mix and match. You can decide. You know. We kind of wanted to create like this little hybrid model of homeschool, yet the things we like and appreciate about public school together and kind of like mold that together. So we had a very structured system. The kids would walk in. They would say the pledge. The host mom would then kind of break down whatever activity it was for the day. We had about three moms per group, and it was all hands on deck. We did end up accumulating a very large interest list. There's 80-some families on the list.
So 80 families want to join you?
Yeah, yeah.
Must feel pretty special.
Well, if anything, we feel bad because we want to be able to help and accommodate as many as we can, but we were at capacity this year at 36 kids.
ESA vouchers make it more doable. They can use the cash to pay for online classes, private tutors, or extracurricular activities like sports. What counts as an educational expense is quite broad. For example, it includes things like horse riding. All the mums here say they would homeschool even without ESA vouchers.
So I did have experience with homeschooling without the funds, and it was a very different ballgame. It was hard. So it's really nice to be able to just purchase a tried and true curriculum. I can afford it now, you know, with these funds, where before I wasn't. It was
I think we would do it either way.
Yeah, we would do it either way.
Helped. Yeah,
she's
a huge help.
We've been our children's teachers from birth. You know what I mean? And then why all of a sudden, whenever it comes into reading and writing and math, we're all of a sudden, oh, you know, I can't. I don't know. I don't know what to do anymore.
And they're happy?
The kids? Oh, yeah.
Where have we been?
I know, seriously.
But as we'll hear, private education doesn't work for everyone. You're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
911, what is your emergency?
Most towns have a local celebrity.
Who is it that's missing?
It's my dad. He went out into the water.
An eccentric known throughout the community.
Inverness market trader Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Inverness revolved around Kim in a way.
Difference is, the local eccentric from my hometown made international headlines.
The man's son reported he disappeared in treacherous water.
Search and rescue teams thought they had yet another drowning on their hands. Or did they?
The story's not adding up.
He is completely unhinged.
It was violent, it was controlling, it was sadistic.
Dead Man Running, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the documentary. I'm Alex Last. In Arizona, anyone can now apply for school vouchers, but it wasn't always the case. The original ESA program was introduced back in 2011 and was sold as a targeted measure, particularly to help children with disabilities, so they could pay for specialist education if they couldn't find what they required in public schools.
My name is James. I am 17 years old. I want to be a policeman because I want to catch bad guys.
James survived brain cancer as a baby and has autism. He did go to a public school when he was younger, but as he got older, his mum, Pamela, says it was clear he wasn't getting the specialist help he needed. She hoped school vouchers, ESAs, would be the answer.
I'd heard about ESA, here are the vouchers, and I thought, oh, this would be great. I can get him into these private schools and we can get what he needs, but that was not at all what... What is out there? I did get the money. I did get the vouchers, but I had nowhere to spend them because schools
really?
don't want these kids.
Even schools that advertise.
Schools that advertise, and that's the worst part because there's virtually no regulation of private schools in Arizona. I mean, you can just do whatever you want, pretty much.
As a kid with special needs, his school voucher is worth about $40,000 a year. But even so, few private schools would take him.
They don't care how much voucher money you have. They don't want your kid there if they don't meet the same demographics that they have not wanted throughout history. They do not want now. I mean, that hasn't changed.
Wait, I'm not naming in order. The first president is George Washington, John Adams, and then Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James...
I mean, kids like my son, you know, he is capable, and he wants to be integrated, but he needs a lot of assistance, and they don't want to spend the money on that. They want to keep the cost as low as possible so they can pocket as much as possible.
So how many schools did you apply for, James?
I should sit down and count, because it was just like at least a dozen. There was a campaign going from the Catholic school system that how great they were inclusive, right? Not one single school in Phoenix would take him, Catholic school. And I even went like an hour away. I went out to the west side.
And those that eventually did take him, Pamela says, failed him.
I brought him to one that said they were for kids like him that took everybody, but they, instead of giving him this individualized education that they were getting a lot of money for, they just put him out of the way up front in the office. They would stick him on a computer, and he just wasn't getting any attention that he needed.
Teachers are mean to me. They don't let me have any fun. They used to let me go on outings, but they don't let me go on outings.
Have you had nice teachers at all?
Not recently, no.
You did have nice ones, though.
And for Pamela, like many parents, homeschooling was not an option.
I mean, I'm sorry, but this is enough of my life as it is. I don't want to make it 24/7. You know, he needs, and he doesn't need that. He needs, he's an only child. He definitely needs to get out because he wants a social life. You know, he wants a girlfriend. He wants friends. That's basically the only thing he wants.
What do you think has been the impact on you and James?
Well, it's more than an impact on him because it was hard for me to try and explain to him in ways that aren't crushing, you know, why he can't have that. That these people just don't want you there. So he stopped asking after a while, which, you know, as much.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. It's infuriating and it's heartbreaking.
Rutherford B. Hayes, James A. Garfield, Chester Arthur, Grover Cleveland, Benjamin Harrison, Grover Cleveland, William McKinley, Theodore Roosevelt.
So Pamela has lost faith in the ESA voucher program and says she will try to enroll James back in public school this year. Still, she's worried.
But now in public school, I have to think, oh my God, there could be a school shooting any day, and then there's going to be lockdown drills. And I just, that whole atmosphere, I didn't want to think about for him. And then bullies, the potential, you know, is in high school, in a typical high school, is that going to be a big risk, you know, because he can't defend himself against that, you know. But it's been so bad in what's available in the private schools that now I'll have to try it and hope that it can't be any worse.
Are you ready for a concert?
Yes, please.
Girl, mama is a bad thing.
Pamela says for her, the reality was the opposite of school choice.
The choice is with the schools. It's not with the parents at all.
We're driving through the city of Phoenix on multi-lane roads past low, sand-coloured, box-like houses baking under the scorching sun. And almost on every corner, there are signs for candidates competing in local elections, representing both the main parties. Arizona is a swing state, and this state could be crucial in deciding who wins the upcoming presidential elections. Donald Trump himself is a big supporter of school choice, and Arizona's school voucher program is seen by many influential Republicans as a model for others to follow. So is what's happening here going to be the future for education in the U.S.?
The people who've been in Arizona pushing quote-unquote school choice or vouchers have really been seeking to privatize public education. This is not a new thing. This is a long-term fight that they've invested millions of dollars in our state.
Beth Lewis, a former teacher, is executive director of Save Our Schools Arizona, the volunteer organization led by teachers and parents who've been waging a determined campaign to support public schools and stop universal school vouchers.
There are people who really think that schooling should be used to, quote-unquote, advance God's kingdom. You also have folks that are very libertarian in nature who really believe that taxation is theft and that we should all be able to just take our tax dollars and walk away from, you know, society, really. And then a third camp is really just looking for profit. They view, you know, education as an untapped monopoly. They think that it should be a private enterprise and that free market principles should rule out. However, in my book, it's a dangerous idea.
There's a lot of opposition to universal vouchers, and one of the main issues is the cost. Since the scheme was made universal, many vouchers are actually being claimed by parents whose kids were already in the private system, so their education was not previously being funded by the public. But it is now, and that's the new cost to the state. And it's big. Statistics are opaque and disputed, but a new report by the non-partisan think tank, the Grand Canyon Institute, says that the net cost of universal vouchers was $320 million this year, and next year it's projected to rise even higher. All of which puts a big hole in the state's finances.
Are schools facing dire budget cuts in light of this voucher system? And then, right, if you've got 10 kids leaving a local school for a voucher, it doesn't change most of the fixed costs, right? You still need to have a principal, an assistant principal, a counselor, a librarian, same, you know, cafeteria, air conditioning, buses, but you're losing $100,000. And for a local elementary school, that is a massive hit to the budget. And so you're going to lose a couple of teachers, which makes class sizes balloon. The quality will be forced to go down, and more people will leave. And I think that folks that are pushing vouchers are actually counting on that. I don't think that's, you know, a byproduct. I think that's part of the design.
And Beth's worried not just about the cost.
We also are very concerned to see the types of schools that are popping up in Arizona in response to this voucher program. You know, a lot of extremist indoctrination academies opening up. There is a lot of curriculum that is very anti-LGBTQ. It's not rooted in real history or real science.
What's wrong with a parent deciding to send their kid to such a place if that's what they want?
I don't have any problem with a parent making that choice, but I think that our taxpayer dollars shouldn't go to fund that choice.
Or is it that you just don't agree with their politics?
No, I think there are other pieces outside of the polarization that are dangerous. I mean, there's segregation in all forms, right? Like, we see a lot of predominantly, you know, white schools that are picking and choosing students. So you're seeing racial segregation that's occurring. We're also seeing class segregation. And if we're all in little tiny camps that are shaped by very narrow worldviews, then I do think that affects our entire country.
Some of the people we've spoken to complain that one of the reasons they're not going to public school is what they perceive as a kind of liberal bias, that certain things are taught in schools that they don't like. Do you think that public schools do have a problem with this?
I do not. I mean, I've been an educator in Arizona for 12 years. I've never seen any inappropriate discussion of racism or history or gender ideology or, you know, anything like that.
So what's the end game? At the moment, vouchers still account for a small fraction of students, but for Beth, the voucher program threatens the very existence of the public school system.
The pattern is defund your public schools, discredit them by speaking ill of, you know, their services and their teachers, and then dismantle them. The end goal is to privatize our public school system. And, you know, I do fear that that is a very wrong turn for America. If the voucher program is allowed to grow unfettered, I think ultimately we won't have a public school system.
9, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. But back at Phoenix Christian Prep, school choice advocate Jeff Blake is more optimistic. He doesn't see it as an existential battle. Either way, what happens in Arizona will be watched closely, as it could have consequences for the future of education in America.
In an environment where there is choice, there is an environment of competition, and that's going to force us all to be better. The beautiful thing is that it takes the accountability from the government and puts it in the hands of parents. And when parents are making the choices, all schools are accountable to parents. And I like that.
15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. This edition of Assignment was presented by me, Alex Last. The producer was Ellie House.
Good job, Noah.
Good job, Noah. You ready? 911, what is your emergency?
Most towns have a local celebrity.
Who is it that's missing?
It's my dad. He went out into the water.
An eccentric known throughout the community.
Inverness market trader Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Kim Avis.
Inverness revolved around Kim in a way.
Difference is, the local eccentric from my hometown made international headlines.
The man's son reported he disappeared in treacherous water.
Search and rescue teams thought they had yet another drowning on their hands. Or did they?
The story's not adding up.
He is completely unhinged.
It was violent. It was controlling. It was sadistic.
Dead Man Running, wherever you get your podcasts.